ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 6 प्रहलाद इंस्ट्रक्ट्स हिज डिमोनियक स्कूलमेट्स। टेक्स्ट नंबर 10। कौन्वर्थं तृष्णा विसृजेत, कौन्वर्थं तृष्णां विसृजेत, प्राणेभ्योऽपि य ईप्सितः प्राणेभ्योऽपि य ईप्सितः यं क्रीणात्य सुभिः प्रेष्टैः, यं क्रीणात्य सुभिः प्रेष्टैः, तस्करः सेवको वणिक्, तस्करः सेवको वणिक्। कौन्वर्थतृष्णां विसृजेत्, प्राणेभ्योऽपि य ईप्सितः, यं क्रीणात्य सुभिः प्रेष्टैः, तस्करः सेवको वणिक्। ट्रांसलेशन कह हु तू नू इंडीड अर्थ तृष्णाम अ स्ट्रॉन्ग डिजायर टू एक्वायर मनी विसृजेत कैन गिव अप प्राणेभ्यः देन लाइफ अपि इंडीड यह विच इप्सितः मोर डिजायर्ड यम विच कृणाति ट्राइज टू एक्वायर असुभिहि विथ हिज ओन लाइफ प्रेष्ठै वेरी डियर तस्करः अ थीफ सेवकः अ प्रोफेशनल सर्वेंट वणिक अ मर्चेंट। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। Please listen carefully, O devotees. This I am saying, not it is given here. Money is so dear that one conceives money as being sweeter than honey. How many of you agree with this? Thank you. I also agree with this. Therefore, who can give up the desire to accumulate money, especially in household life? Thieves, professional servants, soldiers, and merchants try to acquire money even by risking their very dear lives. Purport. How money can be dearer than life is indicated in this verse. Thieves may enter the house of a rich man to steal money at the risk of their own lives. Because of trespassing, they may be killed by guns or attacked by watchdogs. But still they try to commit burglary. Why do they risk their lives only to get some money? Similarly, a professional soldier is recruited in the army. He accepts such service with the risk of dying in the battlefield only for the sake of money. In the same way, merchants go from one country to another on boats at the risk of their lives, and they dive into the water of the sea to collect pearls and valuable gems. Thus, it is practically proved that everyone will admit that money is sweeter than honey. One may ask everything, one may risk everything to acquire money. And this is especially true of rich men who are too attached to household wife. Recorder? Microphone? Formerly, of course, the members of the higher caste, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, everyone but the Shudras were trained in Gurukul to adhere to a life of renunciation and sense control by practicing Brahmacharya and mystic yoga. Then they were allowed to enter household life. There have consequently been many instances in which great kings and emperors have given up household life. Although they were extremely opulent, and were the masters of kingdoms, they could give up all their possessions because they were trained early as brahmacharis. Prahlad Maharaj's advice is therefore very appropriate. Kaumar acharet pradnyo dharman bhagavataniha durlabham manusham janma tadapi adruvam arthadam. One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life. In other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all the other engagement. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary, like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. Human society should take advantage of this instruction. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Once more, everybody chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm grateful for being allowed to be amongst you. Thankful to you. Very auspicious month, Vadik Mas, Purushottam month. And why I'm telling you to chant again and again, because chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra during this auspicious period of Adhik Mas has got how many times effect than other times? Let me tell you that first. So then we will chant one more Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then you will have greater zeal. Normally when we chant, we get whatever, actually unlimited benefit, right? But if you chant in Kartik, it gives you 100,000 times benefit. And 16 times more benefit than Kartik is achieved in Purushottam month. And if you chant one mantra in Adhik Mas in a holy place, then 1,000 times more multiplication. Now you take your calculator or use your brain to calculate. According to me, it is 16 crores of times benefit is there. 1,000 and plus when you go to the holy place of the Acharya's birth and departure. So we do not understand sometimes, you know, what kind of benedictions we are receiving. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in this month also has a tremendous, tremendous effect than other times. Whatever I studied about the glories of Adhik Mas, somehow one point was again and again coming, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the highest of all benefits. So we are so fortunate by the mercy of Prabhupada that we are every day supposed to read or hear Bhagavatam. Right? Then I was just thinking that if we just do what we are doing every day with sincere heart, then Chaturmas comes, Kartik Mas comes, Magh month comes, Chaitra comes, and then Adhik Mas comes, you know, you will automatically keep getting all the benefits without even knowing it. You have to simply just, every time we chant Hare Krishna, we have to put our heart into that. That is so important actually. It's one of the highest benedictions, highest gifts, highest praptis that one can have in any lifetime of Brahma or demigods or human being is to receive the holy name of the Lord. One cannot fathom हाउ फॉर्चुनेट वी आर फॉर अस हरे कृष्ण मंत्र डे टू डे. क्या अभी नया क्या है उसके, नया मंत्र कोई है क्या बताओ. सो मेनी इयर्स ऑफ पास्ट एनी न्यू मंत्र कमिंग अप अपडेट. दिस इज इटर्नली अपडेटेड मंत्र कंटिन्यूअसली एक्सपोनेंशियली गिविंग अस अनबिलीवेबल अनलिमिटेड बेनिफिट्स. एंड वन मोर इंस्ट्रक्शन इज देयर फॉर ऑल द डिवोटीज दैट वॉट एवर वी डू इन दिस मंथ स्पिरिचुअली जस्ट पुट मोर ऑफ योर हार्ट एंड अटेंशन इन डूइंग दोज थिंग्स. लेट मी चैंट हरे कृष्णा विथ मोर अटेंशन, रीड भागवतम विथ मोर अटेंशन, मोर डिजायर, मोर सिंसियरिटी, डू सर्विस विथ मोर ऑफ हार्ट. वॉट एवर ऑस्टेरिटीज यू टेक अप इन दिस मंथ डू इट विथ मोर हार्ट. बट सिंपली डूइंग दैट यू विल गेट, यू कैन इवन काउंट हाउ मच बेनिफिट यू रिसीव. दीज आर ऑल एक्सटर्नल ग्रॉस अंडरस्टैंडिंग्स ऑफ वॉट काइंड ऑफ बेनिफिट्स यू आर गेटिंग. इट्स लाइक यू नो वी से ना कि अरे वो मार्केट में जाके वो शर्ट कितने का है, बोले सस्ता है, बट फिर भी हंड्रेड्स में है कि थाउजेंड्स में है. एटलीस्ट वी शुड नो दैट ना कि हाउ मच टू कैरी विद अस, इज इट 500 और 5000, यू शुड नो. तो दैट काइंड ऑफ डिस्क्रिप्शन इज गिवन हियर, 16 टाइम्स, 1000 टाइम्स, 1 लाख टाइम्स. इज जस्ट अ ग्रॉस अंडरस्टैंडिंग, बट इन डेप्थ सटली हाउ मच डीपली वी गेट अफेक्टेड बाय दीज फेवरेबल टाइम्स वन कैन नेवर फैदम. एक्चुअली यू ऐड अ प्योर डिवोटीज एसोसिएशन इन दिस मंथ, फॉर एग्जाम्पल यू गेट से योर गुरुदेव एसोसिएशन, यू गो टू होली प्लेस, यू गो टू द मोस्ट इंटेंस होली प्लेस वेयर द इंटेंस इमोशंस आर एक्सप्रेस्ड, फॉर एग्जाम्पल उद्धव क्यारी, फॉर एग्जाम्पल इन नंदगांव, द हाइएस्ट मोस्ट एक्सप्रेशंस ऑफ द हार्ट्स ऑफ द गोपीज वर एक्सप्रेस देयर इन द मूड ऑफ सेपरेशन. उद्धव क्यारी, इफ यू डू गो देयर इज अ ट्री, नथिंग एल्स इज देयर, बट यू अंडरस्टैंड एंड देयर इफ यू गो एंड चैंट हरे कृष्णा देन देयर इज अ डिफरेंट बेनिफिट इज देयर. हु कैन काउंट द बेनिफिट एनी वे अदर टाइम्स वेन यू गो टू उद्धव क्यारी, हाउ मच बेनिफिट इज देयर, हु कैन काउंट. Who can count if you take Ashwani in Radha Kund, plus Adhik Mas, plus Radha Kund, plus in the company of sincere devotees, plus Brahma Murta, plus Ekadashi, for example. Just go on adding, plus on the appearance day of some Acharya, plus on the appearance day of Radha Kund itself, for example. Just see. Can anybody go on calculating? It's actually useless to calculate. Don't calculate. Just do it with the heart. Then you see. Keep that formula all throughout your life, whether it's Adhik Mas or any other Mas. Just see that we put our heart into doing things. Whatever we do, Prabhupada even would take out a note from his wallet. He would take out with so much of grace and respect. Because he knew he is handling Lakshmi. He is not handling a printed paper. This Lakshmi can be, is the energy of the Lord and can be used in service of the Lord. So he would pick up in such a grace. He would drink water with such grace. Every activity, you know. Yogaha karmasu kaushalam. That means every activity we do with expertise. So that is what Krishna consciousness is all about. It is not about externals. It's important how to dress, how to put tilak, how to keep hairstyle, how to talk, how to... Behavioral culture is important, no doubt about it. But the essential aspect of the behavioral culture is more important than the behavioral culture. If one wears nice dhoti kurta, wears nice tilak, but very harsh with devotees, very harsh in language, we harsh in day-to-day lifestyle, then essential aspect of external culture will be there, but the essence is lost. So, Srila Prabhupada taught us that quality life, in whatever you do, whatever dealings you do, do it for Krishna, do it with heart. So similarly, today we are on the 7th canto, very powerful canto, or a very powerful devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. And the scenario is like this. Before we read Bhagavatam, we should always put ourselves in a scenario where the Bhagavatam is at that time. Where are we at the moment? We are in the Gurukul of Chandan Amarka. That's the location we are in today. Today's venue is Gurukul of Chandan Amarka, under the rule of Hiranyakashipu. And what is the timeline? The timeline is also very important. Then you will read these instructions with a greater, different understanding. It is not where nothing has happened and you just joined the school and the recess and his friends came and he told them all these things. No. Before this, twice he has been presented to his father. First time that shloka, what is that shloka? वृंदावनम हाँ तत्साधु मन्ये सुरवर्य देहिनाम दैट श्लोक वाज श्लोकन फर्स्ट एंड देन सम चैस्टाइजमेंट टू गुरुज एंड देन टेकन बैक एंड नेक्स्ट टाइम अगेन विद नाइस मेकअप मदर इज डूइंग नाइस मेकअप दिस टाइम प्रेजेंट योर सेल्फ नाइसली प्लीजिंगली एंड नेक्स्ट टाइम वॉट श्लोका श्रवणम कीर्तनम विष्णु स्वरणम पाद सेवनम ओके अगेन एंगर अगेन टीचर्स एंग्री आई जस्ट विल टीच हिम नाइसली द थर्ड टाइम टू जस्ट कम देमसेल्व्स कि सर दिस टाइम वी हैव ब्रॉट हिम टू यू हाँ यू डोंट कॉल यू आर नॉट कॉल वी हैव गॉट दिस इज अ होपलेस चाइल्ड आई डोंट नो वी डोंट नो वॉट इज हैपनिंग हु इज टीचिंग वी आर नॉट टीचिंग एनी बट ही इज टीचिंग ऑल नॉनसेंस And then he says, kill him. Like you get cancer, cancerous growth in any part of the body, that part should be chopped off immediately. Surgical amputation should be done immediately. Kill him by any means. Whatever means you have in life, access to, just use it and kill this. Although he is my child, but I know he is our enemy. He is fed by enemy, he is our enemy, and he is going to be destroying all our race. So better we destroy him only and save ourselves. And then all those atrocities which are unparalleled in the history of mankind took place in the case of this 5-year-old delicate child. You cannot imagine. We'll not go in details of that, but such horrible atrocities the child underwent. Nothing happened to him. He was totally, you know, unaffected by any means of all powerful methods of killing somebody. Nothing happened to him. By the grace of the Lord. And then he goes back to Gurukul. You can imagine his courage. Now the real point is coming. He is not said, my God, so much atrocities, I don't want to do anything now. I'll do my bhajan quietly and keep quiet. No, the person who takes shelter of the Lord truly from the heart, he becomes truly nirbhay, totally fearless. Neither he was scared when he was being killed or attempted to kill, get killed. Nor when he is preaching his friends, he thinks, oh, what happens if my father will come to know what will happen this time. Now, these teachings are significant. You just create the background in mind. He is doing all these teachings after being tortured by his father, attempted to kill him. Then he is coming to Gurukul and then he is teaching him. Is that right? If I am right, it's timeline point of view. And then read what teachings he is giving. Imagine. Then read what kind of realization he is sharing with his friends. And then you will know the glory of Prahlad actually. It's not just one chapter somewhere. No, he told his friends. You know, what situation he told his friends. So he says here, money is dearer than honey. And mostly it is mentioned for grihasthas. But all those living entities who are human beings are also under the influence of this fact that money is honey. Money is actually the extension energy of the Lord, Lakshmi Devi, right? The purpose of money is to actually serve Krishna. Without her, we can't serve Krishna. Without money, we cannot do any service. Everything that is required in service to Krishna needs money. Whatever Rath Yatra is coming up now in Kolkata, to celebrate Rath Yatra, to induce people, to get darshan of Lord Jagannath, to get mercy, to become devotee, to save, to deliver oneself, one requires money, lots of money, not small money. Prasadam distribution and decoration and permissions and time and energy. So without money one cannot serve Krishna. But absolutely it is not true, but practically it is always true. But when money, even a iota of part of money, when it is not used in service to Krishna, it can cause biggest havoc in life. For you brahmacharis, maybe you may not have direct ownership of money in your life. But other forms of money are with you. You may have authority, you may have leadership, you may have temple president's position, you may have some control on some zone of some number of devotees, you may have some power to address some people, or you may be cultivating some government officers, or maybe many things are there. They are also like wealth only, money only. And whenever those things are utilized for our aggrandizement and not for service to Krishna, All those things start affecting our soul. First comes, whenever we come across money, is greed. I want more. I want more. Anyor. And then, as soon as money is coming, then money is very powerful. Money speaks, you know that? You put 5,000 rupees in your pocket and go around Kolkata. Just go around with 5,000 rupees and come back. And note down all the emotions that you had when the money was in your pocket. I was in Saudi Arabia with a lot of loans and I had gone to stay there to earn money and pay off my loans. So every month salary would come, good salary compared to Indian. What I would do, 200 of those currency, I will keep for 4 weeks. And rest everything I would send to India to pay back. And I did this for 2 years, till I actually wanted to pay off everything. And then one day it came that all my loans were paid off. And then I kept 200 more riyals in my pocket before sending the salary. And in that month, whenever that money was in my pocket, I was going to mall. Before that, I was only buying sabji worth 50 units of currency of that country to buy whatever I want, come back, next Thursday you go, buy that and come back, next Thursday you go, buy that, come back. So that 50 riyals is the limit. Whatever you want to buy is 50 riyals, that's all. But once the loans were paid and I was having more money than 50 riyals, I was thinking that ice cream I didn't eat all this while, that strawberry I did not eat, that particular sabji I did not eat, oh, that thing was always in my mind and I wanted to purchase that. And I did all that. I didn't eat salted cashew nuts all this while because it was costly and I couldn't afford it. That time I realized that money just cannot be quiet in your pocket or in your tesori or in your wherever storing place it is. Even if you don't carry it, but if you have, suppose, then your mind will tell you, spend, enjoy, you deserve to enjoy. You can afford this now. Before that you were not able to afford. When you were a beginner practitioner of medicine, you didn't have so much income. Now you can afford. Now the car showrooms will start tempting you. Now the malls, big malls you are not entering before will start tempting you. Look, enter now. Now you can afford those things. So, more money, more lust. Lust doesn't necessarily mean only sexual enjoyment. Lust means desire to enjoy sensually, independent of Krishna. So, then comes lust. Afterward, what comes? Envy. Well, immediately you see somebody else having more than you. Oh, my colleague who actually passed out with me, see his income, see my income, see his car, see my car, see his flat, see my flat. See his wife's ornaments, see my wife's ornaments. See his wife's sari, see my wife's sari. See which locality he is staying, see which locality I am staying. So envy comes immediately. And envy, what comes? Competition. Then I want to match up with him. Either I put him down and go up, or I run behind him to match up with him. So crime comes after that. You can just see. Money is a root of all evil, although it tastes like honey. It's a root of all evil because money never brings, actually, unless it is engaged in service to Krishna, money never brings happiness. Take it from Srimad Bhagavatam as blanket statement. Everybody is motivated in this world to earn money. The sole goal of everybody's life is to make money. They may say, "Arey, mujhe seva karna hai, I want to serve, you know. My goal of life is to serve." But in the hearts of hearts, if that person is not Krishna conscious, then his goal of life is simply to make money. Sometimes they don't even know why he is making money. Because he is sleeping at 1:30 in the night, taking his dinner at 1:30 and getting up at 5 o'clock again in the operation theater or in the business office, and taking lunch at 6:30 in the evening and breakfast at 12:30 in the morning afternoon, and he doesn't know what he is doing, how many hours he is sleeping, is he staying with family or not, or talking to his wife and children or not, or talking to fellow colleagues or not. He is simply running around like cat and dog, and he doesn't even know what I am going to do with the money. There are doctors in Bombay who take per operation what they do 15 lakh rupees under table, and routine charges are separate. And they do such 3 to 4 or 5 operations per day. So somebody asked me in a meeting, "Kya karte kya hai itna paise ka?" I said, "They don't even know what they are doing. They are accumulating. The Sanchay Pravruti becomes more and more and more when more and more money is available to you. You just don't understand what I am doing it for, but you just want to accumulate. And the accumulating power tendency is so strong that even if you become Warren Buffet, still you want to accumulate more and more. You and me can never understand what is the wealth of Warren Buffet or Bill Gates, what to speak of Mukesh Ambani. We can't even count the zeros in their property, you know, worth what, how many, I don't even know, kitne crore, no, kitne thousands of crores, kitne lakhs of crores, and what does that mean, and I don't understand only actually. So we can never understand, but still even after acquiring that much of wealth, they all are still working hard to still accumulate more and more and more. And for sure, even a thousandth part of that wealth, they cannot enjoy themselves. They are old, somebody else will enjoy, the son or daughter or whatever relatives or grandsons or everybody, or the government, or the corporate social responsibility as a charity where people will be getting the benefit. You know, that person can never actually enjoy that money. But still he doesn't give up working for that money. That is most amazing thing actually. Because even if you have 160 items for your lunch, for example, you can hardly even taste a spoon of that. Even if you like something, you can't eat the whole item because you have to taste another 159. So that is a limitation. Even if you have the gold studded, diamond studded bed, you still occupy 6x3 feet in the night. Right? You may roll here and there. Hello, 6x6. But more than that, you can't accumulate. You may have 1,051 rooms in the world altogether in your number of bungalows you have. But at one time, you can stay only in one bungalow, in one room, on one cot, occupying that much space. You can have a chartered plane, chartered helicopter, and how much you can spend on that. Still, you cannot enjoy. So there's a limit for which one can enjoy the benefits of money. But amazing thing is that although you have a limit, you still want to accumulate more and more and more. And a stage comes, like when you become 50, then you get diabetes. Then you have all kinds of 100,000 kinds of sweets at your home available, but you can't touch one of them. Then you have a cholesterol problem, then you can't touch any of the fried items that you love. Then you get diabetes, you can't touch rice, you can't touch anything. So there are so many rich people have so many facilities, but when it comes to lunch, they eat papaya in the morning. What to do? There's a king of Bahrain, you know, who has got something like 256 vehicles, which are kind of Mercedes kind of vehicles. And the higher end of that, not that one small Chintu 280E, it's the biggest possible Mercedes, biggest variant, higher end variant. Like that, every company they have the highest. And you've got 256, it's got 2-3 acres of area where the things are parked in the parking shed. And there's a full company to manage his cars. And so much money, crores of rupees are spent just to maintain those cars. Because which day, which car he will use, nobody knows. And the and suppose he uses all cars in sequence. They make a plan, sir, today this car for you. It's all sequenced. The first car will not come maybe after a year or so. And his cook is cooking him all the world's possible cuisines for breakfast, lunch and dinner. And he will just come and eat one watermelon piece and go and eat and go. Because he has some problem of health maybe. Maybe in a hurry, or maybe his mind is not there. Some political issue is going on. So point I'm trying to convey to you may have huge amount of wealth. But what you can enjoy is very limited. Very, very, very limited. You're not supposed to. I remember a rich man's story who was in my childhood the richest person in the world. And he's driving at the bank of the ocean. And suddenly he gets on the car from his posh car, you know, which has got two cars in front, two cars behind, so that nobody should enviously dash the car and scratch the car. That's why there are two cars just protecting that car, and he's in the car in between. Like, you know, when President of America comes, how so many cars are in front, so many behind, motorcycles next to you, bulletproof, this, that. He's sitting in between two passengers in between. So protection is there. So he gets down the car, walks down a few steps from the car, and sees a beggar eating his meal on the road, like maybe vada pav or something like that. But he's eating so much. And he's sitting and watching him and shedding tears. Long time he's not coming back to car. So driver gets down the car and he says, "Sir, what happened?" He said, "The happiness that this person has in eating this vada pav to his heart content, I don't have. Because I have cancer of the esophagus, the food pipe. And I only gulp some spoons of juices and no solid food I can take. Sometimes I have to take it through the nasal tube, only liquid diet." So the bhog that you get, the actual indriya bhog that you actually get, is never guaranteed by the wealth that you have. Your so much amount of wealth is never guaranteeing you, can never guarantee you X amount of bhoga or enjoyment. You may have lots of property in the village, but you have to stay in one room kitchen in the Bombay to make your money. In village you have acres of land, you know, and all fresh organic fruits are growing on your trees, and coconut trees are there, and you have rice of your own with made of sonkhat or whatever cow dung fertilizer, and you have purest of water streams coming from your house, a river, and you have your own well where you get mineral water. But you are staying in a crowded suburb in Mumbai in one room kitchen and running around in the train, you know, so much suffering is there. And you are a millionaire, but for you making your money, you have to stay in city. What does that mean? Your money can never assure you proportionate happiness. You may think, "I am now earning X amount of money. I will earn this much and I will be staying in this house and that house." It may not be possible. Because it's like we say now that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. And this pain will keep coming to you. Whether you suffer or not, the pain is up to you and up to your karma. Similarly, the wealth may be unlimited, but the happiness that you may get may not be there as per the proportionate situation of the wealth. So why work so hard? Work hard enough to maintain your body and soul and serve Krishna. And you will come to know that without even having wealth, you will be enjoying so many things in life. See, all of you brahmacharis, you are not even earning any money. You may be highly qualified, but you are still staying in brahmachari ashram, having two pairs of clothes and no bed to sleep on, maybe no one small locker to keep things. But all your medical insurance, medical health issues are handled by temple. You get best of foods wherever you go, wherever you stay, all the time. You get best of philosophy to hear, we get best of company, we get best of friends, everything best. You don't have to worry anything. Even if you want to preach in America, temple plan is there, you go to America and preach and come back and meet best people in the world with no money in pocket, which you call as yours. What does that mean? In your life, there is a proof that the happiness is not coming from money. You can't connect the happiness to money. But my dear friends, it is true about grihastha also. I may think I am a grihastha and I have an income and I work hard and this is my income, my bank balance, this is what I spend every month and this is what I keep for my future. But I also enjoy what my karma is. Accordingly, only I enjoy whatever I have. And whatever I think I want to enjoy, time never comes to enjoy because it's not in my destiny only. So first I told you the evil of money, the evil part of the money, that what money actually, when it is not in service to Krishna, it can do to you. Actually, it can destroy. Next, I forgot to mention to you that more money, enmity comes afterwards. Envy is one thing, but then rivalry, then wars, then murders, then harming each other takes place. You become ruthless. And the more and more money comes, then what happens is the person becomes more and more narrow-minded. Pehle bahut dildar tha wo, jab garib tha. When more money came, he was like, he became closed doors. Before, you could walk in his house anytime to take prasad. But now you have to take appointment and he should call you for that. Because you become more possessive and more worried about what you have, and you don't want to share it with anybody. The poorest man, he just shares everything to everybody. But you become richer, then you become more conservative and more reserved and more private and more space you require for yourself. You don't want to enter everybody to enter in that space and disturb yourself. So you become very secluded in your life. You don't even realize that. You think, I'm living great actually. But see, the richest man in the world, he has got 4-5 bodyguards. He can't walk in the mall like you walk in. He can't go to sabji market and bargain with the sabjiwala and buy dudhi. He can't do that. Because more wealth has come. Life has become more complicated. Many people are your enemies. They want to shoot you. They want to loot you. They want to take your money. They want to call up and do extortion with you. This is all evils of money. And still we want that money. It's chalega. I don't mind the difficulties Tendulkar faces in his normal life, but I want to become as rich as him. But mind you, my dear friends, there are thousands of people who are much more richer than a person that you adore because of money. And all of them are not happy. If you are happy and content, then you will stop working. You just go to an island and start staying and chant Hare Krishna. Whatever you want to do, you can do. But how many rich people you know who have tons of wealth, who are now retired at 35 years of age and want to live their life fully to the heart's content, enjoy everything in life? No. They will keep working. In fact, more money you have, you will keep working more and more and more than you and me to multiply that money and compete with somebody who is ahead of you and waste whole life in earning that money. We have seen these people actually. Somebody told me when my brother-in-law came in one marriage ceremony of devotee, and then many of the devotees were there, rich devotees were there, and fabulous rich devotees were there, variety of rich devotees were there, you know, and some of them my brother-in-law also knew before. So he said, my brother-in-law told me, this rich family now, when I see the family members, I feel contentment on their face. They feel satisfied and happy. The children, wife, husband. And this rich family, I feel they are very disturbed and very anxious and very unstable in their life. Devotees, huh? So the only answer is that those devotees whose money is fully in service to Krishna, they are content. They are happy. They are not greedy. They are not envious. They are not encroaching upon anything. They are not day and night logging like cats and dogs to make more. And others, they actually have more than that rich family. But they are like wrinkled face, stressed out, exhausted, looking unsatisfied and discontent. Obviously, when you talk to them also, I don't want to quote, I always meet one richest man who is my close friend for last 30 years. And his name comes in papers regularly and he deals in lakhs of crores of rupees. And is always on the financial page, on the news, in the newspaper. And he's my friend somehow. Whenever he meets me, I embrace him as my old friend. And he said, ask me only one question. So continuously, even he may not remember the question, what he's asked me. But continuously, consistently, he asked me one question. Hey Vishwarup, how are you so happy, yaar? How are you so happy? Tell me how you are so happy. Now why is he asking me this question? First of all, the first question, reason why he is asking, because he may not be happy as he sees me happy. Otherwise, what prompts him every time? He doesn't remember last time on 21st August 2014 he asked me the same question. He doesn't remember. He is asking spontaneously. But I remember because I come across the same question again and again when I embrace him. I said, hey, when I met you in 86 now, you are same happy. Now also I met you in 2015, you are same happy. So the secret of happiness is in Krishna consciousness. It is not in money. He was an employee when I met him actually. An employee of a big multinational company. One of the big officers and he was staying in a flat. But now he is, I cannot explain to you how much worth he is in the market. But he was much happier than today. Yes. Believe me, it's a fact. And how many more examples we need to see in life to get convinced about it? We know the story, we hear the story, we so many times experience the stories, but still when it comes to us, we want to run behind the money. It is such a attractive temptation. Sweeter than honey. Everyone wants to accumulate more and more, thinking that when it gets more, I can enjoy more, I can really enjoy more. But it never gives you happiness. Never ever gives you happiness. Lakshmi Devi is supposed to be chanchala. When it is not in service to Krishna, it is very chanchala. It stays here, stays go, goes there, stays here. Only where her master Narayan is being served, there she remains steady and constant. This principle, unless we know and train ourselves to know, life will be always miserable. And Prahlad Maharaj says one more thing in this verse, that with all this what we discussed and what is given in these teachings of Prahlad Maharaj to his friends, if we do not study these things before we enter our responsible life, that means for a doctor before he goes out to practice, for a man before he enters grihastha life, for a brahmachari before he assumes a position in service to Krishna, right? Up till now you are in a training in Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeth maybe. Now you are trained, all your study scriptures, and now you say, okay, you start this temple and preach here. That means you are now into practice, right? Into your service. Before that you are accumulating knowledge. In all these stages, unless you train yourself with this knowledge before you get into your active service, you will keep suffering only. An example is given that because Pandavas were trained as brahmacharis, because Ambarish Maharaj, because Parikshit Maharaj, because Yudhishthir Maharaj, because so many great kings who were as brahmachari serving their guru. Even Krishna served his guru for 12, whatever number of years in Ujjain. And they were told and cultivated in the science of brahmacharya, asceticism and service and sacrifice in a humble way to their guru Maharaj. And they were told about principles of renunciation in life much before they actively became kings. So what happened? When time came, they could just give up their wealth and kingdom and go away. Today it is unheard of. Most of the times they actually have to displace their father from the position of chairmanship of the company, or they kill that father to acquire the position. No one says, Papa, thank you my dear sons, now I am retiring, you take over and I am going to enjoy my life. No. So Dharmaraj, Yudhishthir with Pandavas, they could give up the kingdom of whole universe in splash of 1 second, only because they were trained before in their life. And because they were Krishna conscious, they could do that. Otherwise, who can give up the temptation of wealth? Who can give? Even if you are on deathbed, you keep worrying about the wealth. Before I end, I will tell you one small story of how one is attached to wealth till the last moment of life. I was a student at that time. Just become, you know, entered in Krishna consciousness, ISKCON, and I had also kind of cultivated my professor into Krishna consciousness. And we were in surgical unit, and I was doing internship, and one lady got admitted in ICU, and she was in last stage. Anytime she will die, like that. So our rounds were done, our routine round, everything was done, and then finally, I told our professor friend, actually she is dying now, we should go and chant for her. So we got up immediately, we were waiting for the boss to come, he is yet to come, so we had some time. We went to the patient in ICU and we went on one side and said, Mataji, Hare Krishna bolo, Hare Krishna. So she just didn't respond. So we thought she may be blind, deaf by 1 ear. So we went to the other side of the ear and we said, Mataji, Hare Krishna bolo, Hare Krishna, Bhagwan ka naam lo. So no response. She's conscious, she's awake, her eyes are open, she's looking straight, staring at something without even blinking. So then we thought, she must be in some different state of mind. Lot of time we tried and we then went on. After 15 minutes, she was so silent, focused, not blinking, deep in some thought. After 15 minutes, her daughter came to meet her. As soon as her daughter came, she said 15-20 sentences in a flash of 3-4 seconds. And what she told? She was holding a bunch of keys in her hand. And she gave the keys to her daughter's hand and told, this key, this is there. This key, that is there. This key, papers are there. This key, ornaments are there. This key has got bank account, whatever, locker ka key. And this key, all the paper explain, and all these keys are very important, and I want you to give this, understand the key properly. And after half an hour, she died. So what do you think she was concentrating on? She was just holding that key bunch in her hand, and waiting for the daughter to come, so that before she dies, she wanted to hand over that wealth to somebody and then die. So much attachment. And here, me and our doctor friend is talking, calling out, Mataji, Hare Krishna, bolo. She could have gone back to Godhead actually. She should have just uttered about Hare Krishna. But nothing could be heard by her, nothing could be registered by her, because her full concentration was on one issue. If I die, before I die, I want to give this whole wealth to my daughter in the form of these keys. And sure enough, she died. After that work was done, she died. You can imagine where she must have gone. Maybe she will become a snake in the house that she built. Maybe she will become a rat. Or maybe she will become a dog or a bitch in the property where she had created. So-called protection of the property and attachment. We've all heard the story of Kailash, right? And Narad Muni. That is the fate of the person who is overtly attached to money. So, some of you are renunciants here, some of you are grahasthas here, some of you are would-be grahasthas here. Please be very cautious and understand very clearly, even though we are in the renounced order of life, money still haunts everybody. Money doesn't understand in the color of your cloth. Money doesn't understand the length of your hair. Money understands only you and your, how much deep you are in Maya or out of Maya. That much only money understands. It is said that money corrupts, and it corrupts absolutely. Like power corrupts, and power corrupts absolutely. Money also corrupts absolutely. Prahlad Maharaj is cautioning us. A wise man should cultivate this knowledge of renunciation and service to Krishna much ahead of time of active practice. Then, even he stays in the middle of wealth, he will not get bewildered. Like Pandavas, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, like Ambarish Maharaj. Tons of wealth and opulences and excess and properties, and you can imagine the power and the authority they had. You cannot imagine ever to have that kind of authority. And they had all that. But the proof that they were detached from it, as soon as Krishna left, they just left. There were no ties. Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed, it didn't take him one moment to decide, I quit. He didn't spend half an hour, 2 hours with his wife and family member how to divide his wealth. He just removed his royal clothes, wore a kopin, and went to the bank of Ganga. That is why today we are here, sitting on this Bhagavatam and talking. Because that person was so attached to Krishna and not attached to wealth at all, he could take a decision instantly, and whole Bhagavatam is available today. The greatest of wealth is available today to you because that person was like that. And you and me also can be like that. It's not impossible. You need to have good association who are not greedy for money. Rupa Goswami says, one should avoid company of non-devotees and also avoid company of devotees who are too much attached to money and women. Devotees, so-called devotees, but who are attached to women and money, one should avoid the company of those people. So there can be also devotees who are attached to money and wealth, who are practicing devotional service. That is, it means that we should not be one of them. In the guise of devotion, we come and talk about share market, talk about investment, talk about business, talk about practice. When we come together, the time of quality that we have, we should only utilize in talking about Krishna. Rest all time, by force of time, by the force of situation, you are always working for money and working for the business and working for earning money in your job. It's inevitable. But why do that when we come to with the devotees? Why not use the precious company of devotees to be in Krishna consciousness? You all have given up your lucrative professions and joined Brahmachari Ashram. So much sacrifice has already been done. Why waste time in gossiping and discussing something which are irrelevant while remaining in the ashram of Krishna? You've done such a big step you have taken in life. I don't want to be a part of the world. I don't want to be a grahastha. I don't want to be having property and wealth and wife and children. I don't want to own money. I don't want to have a bank account. So much big step you have taken. And then if we enter into politics and enter into gossip and enter into non-concerned talks, then all the sacrifice is all waste. So imagine how much you need to be focused on the purpose of life as Krishna consciousness more than any other thing that you have in life. Some of you have less authority, some of you have more authority, some of you have more power or more authority to spend money than others, sanctioning authority may be there. But all things are temporary and illusory. What is permanent is your Krishna consciousness. Your authority as temple president for 5 years will not help you to go back to Godhead. What will help you to go back to Godhead is your Krishna consciousness, which you have achieved all these years, whether you were a simple devotee or president of temple or a big zonal leader or nobody, Mr. Nobody. Nothing is seen in the end. What is essential in your soul as Krishna consciousness is only looked at the moment of death and nothing else. So Prahlad Maharaj is very merciful. Very amazing thing also is one more thing. He is not a grahastha. He doesn't have wife now. He doesn't have children now. He is a small 5-year-old boy. And he is talking about such high philosophy. He doesn't have wealth also. He is not handling any wealth. His father is rich. He is Mr. Nobody actually. He is a small boy. Only asset he has got is a son of a big king. The boss. He is the son of the big boss. That's all his asset is. But essentially, he doesn't have anything in his hand. But he's such a highly realized person. That is why after Hiranyakashipu was killed, he became king and ruled the kingdom in a very, very exemplary manner. Very, very exemplary manner he ruled. Fully Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes, Prabhuji. Some water can be there? Is there any microphone for him? Don't collect money to become first ranker collector to get the applause. Okay, this month's top collector is Mr. XYZ Prabhu. Sometimes there's a desire in the heart. Okay, I want to be recognized. I want to be honored in public. You collect for Krishna and keep your motivation to collect more and more for Krishna only. But if someday comes when there is no collection at all, don't get depressed. That is your test. If you are really collecting for Krishna or not. When you have done your full effort of collection and nothing comes that day, and someday you have done not even half the effort but a lot of money comes, don't take the credit to yourself. Just do it as a selfless service of sacrifice. Many people are now very much attached to the amount that they collect, because they think if I collect so much, then my authority, my respect which devotees give will be there. And whatever I say will be respected. I have a say, or I have authority till only I keep collecting X amount of money every year. That is somebody's motivation. That means we are doing service, but there is a lot of motivation behind that. So we have to do service unmotivated manner, whether it is collecting money or anything else. Is that okay? For that our sadhana has to be very strong. If sadhana is strong, then you will be away from this temptation. Any other question is there? Yes.
And for my preaching and other more Shiva for Bhoma and for preaching purpose, I need some more money. What if I do some extra job? Is it sinful or is it good?
There is only one simple criteria to take decision like this. Your sadhana should be never compromised. If your daily sadhana, weekly sadhana, monthly sadhana and yearly sadhana are not compromised, you can go for it. What is daily sadhana? Your daily chanting, reading. What is weekly sadhana? You go to temple once in a week. What is monthly sadhana? Something else you do on monthly basis. Yearly what? You go on yatra. You have to take a leave and go to yatra. All these sadhana aspects, whether they are whatever period of time it comes, if nothing is touched and you have some more time, then you can do that. Prabhu Goswami defines over endeavor, and Acharya has given purport on over endeavor. Over endeavor means you do activity at the cost of your sadhana. that is terminated, terminology is given to that as over-endeavor. Atyahar, atirek of the activity is defined as it is done at the cost of sadhana. When sadhana gets compromised because of that, then it is not advisable. And for the sake of service to Krishna, if you just keep doing service to Krishna, Krishna will keep providing you in the given time only. You don't have to work extra for that. This is my experience at least. When Krishna wants to give you, he can give you in any condition of life. And he doesn't want to give you, you work 15 hours a day also, nothing will come out of it. Sadhana. Don't compromise sadhana at any cost. Even to serve devotees more financially from whatever you have planned, I will feed them, I will donate, I will this. That also you should not do at the cost of sadhana. Because all that is happening in your life, the whole source of energy is from sadhana. So you may think, I'll answer your question by one story. I was traveling with His Holiness, what is that, Maharaj, American, Black American, Devamrut Swami. And I used to always think, I am not having much money, I am always having difficulty, financial difficulty. So I always thought I should have some more money. So I asked Maharaj one day, I was traveling from hospital to temple and car alone with him. So I said, Maharaj, I am always haunted with this, desire to have little more money. So he said, what do you do? So I said, I am in the hospital, I look after the Vaishnava guests, I took care of them, take care of them, I look after spiritual care. I hold programs and I preach doctors, I preach nurses. So what do you want more money for? What you will do with the more money? What you will achieve? I said, I will, whatever guests come to my house, Vaishnavas, I'll feed them better prasad. Or I can go to every yatra with my family and take them, not say no to any time. Every time I'll take them to yatras or temple or whatever it requires. What else? Something more I told him. Then I said, see, he gave me an example of a rich devotee. And he said, see, he is able to do whatever you are planning to do and desiring to do. He has access to give richest food to devotees. He has access to give a lot of donations. He can go to all yatras by flight, whatever. But ask him, where is he now? He will tell you, I'm in London doing some business engagement. And you ask, where are you now? And he will tell you, will tell him, Prabhuji, I have some Swamiji has come from America, I am serving him. So what he will think in London, look, Vishwarupa is so fortunate, he is all time serving Vaishnavas. I wish I could serve Vaishnavas like him. So he said, who is more rich? Ultimately, he has all the wealth in the world and he is desiring what you have. And you think, I want what he has. And actually from the point of view of your truth, from absolute point of view, one who is with the devotee, serving devotee, is the most rich person in life. It's not relativity, it's a fact. That day, actually, Devam Maharaj did my brain surgery and took that germ out of my brain. And whenever I start desiring more wealth, I remember what he told me. That means I'm not valuing the wealth that I have and I'm running after the currency that is tempting. After I start working hard to get that currency, I will lose all this opulence which I have now, time-wise. So devotees have to have spiritual insight in doing whatever we are doing. We should not be just hankering for something baseless. You do your service sincerely and Krishna will give you whatever you need to serve. Don't worry about it. Just don't do any atirek. Just do sadhana nicely. Keep sincerely doing your sadhana. And you see, all that you need in life will follow you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else? Or any? Yes, Prabhuji? Give microphone. Prabhuji, stop me if time is over. If your time is up, tell me. Yes.
For some festival or something.
So what is the question?
Question is like that time, as you are saying, you want to earn more wealth, not more anything for the service of the Lord, like you're preparing. So that time, as you said, day, etc. But for some time,
So that is a very dangerous situation. If you start compromising sadhana for some so-called service that comes in between, your strength of serving, whatever you are doing service, whatever projects you are doing, whatever festivals you are organizing, your strength is your sadhana, please understand. If you think now I am busy in Rath Yatra preparation, so I will now chant not in the morning, or I'll keep my chant round pending, it's a very dangerous mentality. Your whole building of your service is based on the foundation of your sadhana. And that is compromised. Slowly you will understand, your consciousness will get polluted, you will lose your service, and you will find yourself one day in total maya. The fall down actually starts from compromising of sadhana. That is how the fall down starts. You think you can do that day all services without chanting. You think you can do all those things without doing proper day-to-day routines to Krishna. All your service and the success so-called of your service is based on your sadhana only. And that you should never compromise. One devotee met Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, he told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I only sleep for 4 hours and I don't get time to chant." So Prabhupada said, "Sleep for 2 hours and chant those 2 hours. I mean, don't take this answer as verbatim. The point he was trying to convey, sadhana is extremely important. Although you are so busy in your important work of service, you cannot compromise sadhana. Now you ask me a health question. Prabhuji, if somebody sleeps for 2 hours, how will he survive? His health will be gone, finished. That's not the point. Point is that sadhana is so important. Prabhupada built such a big institute all over the world because sadhana was very strong. He never gave up in wealth or poverty. When he had nothing or when he had everything, he never compromised sadhana. Although he was sleeping few hours in the night and writing all night books, but his sadhana he was doing perfectly. Otherwise, such miraculous things do not manifest. The sadhana is all right. So many things you can do which is beyond your imagination. The day your sadhana is weak, lots of problems you'll encounter. Your mind will be totally disturbed. And if sadhana is nice, that day same problems will come, but you will go on handling it so successfully and so peacefully and so blissfully. That everybody's experience. I don't have to tell you this. You know this already. So whether Rath Yatra comes or Janmashtami comes, do not compromise on sadhana. A day in between is all right. Sometimes you are sick and sometimes you are busy, but don't make it a trend that now next 15 days Rath Yatra is there. After that only I'll start chanting in the morning or completing my rounds or attentively chanting. Don't do that. It's a very dangerous situation. Actually slippery platform to fall down. Yeah? 16 rounds of attentive chanting, morning program, eating prasad attentively also. Very important. You don't even look at the prasad, you just eat because you are going. It's part of our sadhana is to also attentively chant the holy name and attentively eat prasadam. And whenever you are with the devotees, you be with heart with them, not just get divided. For you, maybe daily norm is different. For us, it's different. But what is basic minimum is there? No compromise with that. And if you ask me the thing, then the 16 rounds cannot be compromised. Microphone de do. Attentively taking prasad means taking that food, thinking that this is offered to Krishna, this is Krishna prasad. Not like this is masala dosa, and this is idli, and this is rasgulla, and this is bada gulab jamun. I love this, I don't love this. Ei shakka Krishna asvadilo. That is the mood of accepting Krishna prasad in Krishna consciousness. That means accepting that food only because it is offered to Krishna. I love to accept that. Not because it is gulab jam, I love to accept it. I love to accept because it is offered to Krishna. And I concentrate and meditate on the grace of Krishna exhibited in that prasad, which is now gulab jamun. I meditate on that grace, and that is our part of our sadhana. We are not eating food, we are eating Krishna prasad. And so we say prayers before eating food, that is prasad. Prasad is the ultimate grace of Krishna exhibited in the form of food. Yes, Prabhuji. Read every day without fail, because reading will help you to discriminate between what is good, what is bad, what is Krishna conscious, what is Maya, what is truth, what is false. Shastra will give you that intelligence to discriminate. Sad asad vivek buddhi, sar asar vivek buddhi is achieved by reading scriptures. Detachment is achieved with scriptures. Many times you will be attached to your results of your work. If they don't come, it frustrates you. But if you are well versed with scriptures, it will not frustrate you. It will give you a composed mind. So I think we'll end here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Dhruv Prahlad Maharaj ki. Thank you very much.